book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. Just with the Word of God open before us, let's bow our heads together for a few moments, prayer, and I commit the ministry of the Word to the Lord. Our gracious God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the Comforter has come. We thank You, Lord, for those in the meeting who were sealed, that He dwells within their hearts. And, O Lord, we that are Thine are the very tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. And our gracious God, today we pray that we might know much of the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou would draw us nearer to Thee. Thou, Lord, would draw us nearer to Thy Son. And, O God, this day we pray that the Holy Spirit might teach us Thy Word. We claim now the power, the third person of the Trinity, to enable us this day and always to preach the whole counsel of God, to uplift and magnify Christ, and always to make much of the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Christian and the charismatic movement. Never a Jehovah Witness comes to our door and seeks to talk to us and speak to us about his teaching. It is not too long until we discern that the message that he bears, the teachings that he puts forward, are not of God. It is very clear to us that he is a false prophet. Likewise, if a Mormon comes to us, we don't spend too much time with them until we realize that what he is telling us and what he is trying to teach us does not bear a close examination along the lines of the Word of God. Indeed, there are a host of cult sects today that the child of God would not easily be taken in by because their errors, their falsehood is clear to be seen. But today we want to deal with something which in a certain way is quite different, because we come to something which has caused a great deal of concern, and indeed has caused a great deal of confusion in the heart of God's own people, because of what has become known today as the charismatic movement has brought with it a great deal of confusion, raising many questions which, in all honesty, many Christians are not able to give the answer. The Christian today doesn't know whether to embrace the charismatic movement as being a movement from God, or rather, on the other hand, to avoid it like the plague. Some Christians would even ignore it, as if it didn't exist, or as if it didn't concern them. So today we want to deal with this subject. We want to look at the subject of the Christian and the charismatic movement. And we want to look at it and examine it in the light of the Word of God. It would be absolutely futile and useless for me to argue against the charismatic movement with my own thoughts, my own philosophy, and what I think. We want to shine the light of God's Word upon the charismatic movement. We want to see if indeed it is of God, if it really is a moving of the Holy Spirit of God, as the charismatic today would tell us, or indeed is it false, counterfeit, and of the devil. I want first of all to look at the demonstration of the charismatic movement. There are many events that take place in the connection with the charismatic movement that on the face of it we can give an answer to. You see, we have here in these first two verses something that is very true of this charismatic movement today. Verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. That word wonder, there is the word miracle. So let's get what Moses is saying here. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a miracle, and the sign or the wonder, or is that is the miracle, come to pass. You see, the great test, or one of the great tests to find out whether a prophet is true or false, is to put to test the things that he says or prophesies. You see, we can quite easily know and see that the Jehovah Witnesses are false, because for years now they have been setting a date and a time and a date for the second coming of the Lord. Seems to be that every decade they revise their dates. But they often set a date and they say in such a month, such and such a week, and such a day, the Lord's coming. You know, indeed, they did set such a date, and many Jehovah Witnesses gathered from all over the world, and they dressed themselves up, and they did it, and they did it, and they did it. Lord coming, of course the Lord didn't come. So what they said and what came to pass didn't match up, and that clearly shows us that they're false prophets. But look what Moses is saying here. Moses here is saying that if there's a prophet comes among you, a dreamer of dreams, and he works a great miracle, and this miracle actually comes to place, comes to pass, then there's a difficulty there. The sign or the wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto thee. So we have here that the Lord is saying to Moses and to the children of Israel that if there's a false prophet come, or a prophet comes into your midst, and whatever he says comes to pass, whatever he does comes to pass, then there's a question. Then we're led into difficulty. Now we can say that this is a clear description of the charismatic movement today. Because you see, there are things that on the face of it that are happening in the charismatic movement that we would put down to being a moving of the God of heaven. This is where the confusion comes. Because God's people can't understand it, that these events actually come to pass. We'll list a few of them first of all before we examine. There are things that come to pass in the charismatic movement. First of all, there are startling experiences. You see, a charismatic will say that he has had an experience which is of the Holy Ghost. The charismatic will say today that he has been baptized by the Holy Ghost. I want to this morning quote from a book. It's called The Charismatic Renewal and the Irish Experience by a man called Thomas Flynn. It deals with the charismatic movement in the land of Ireland. I want to read just a few lines from this particular book. It's told here that the first Catholic that I know of to experience renewal in Northern Ireland was Frank Fourth, Belfast businessman, whose path to renewal did not originate in the mainstream of the Catholic charismatic movement, but in deep searching discussion with members of the Elam Pentecostal Church. The discussions bore little fruit, but then they decided that at least they should pray together. They began to recognize the unity that is found when two or three are gathered together in Christ's name. He then found himself seeking for that fullness of the Holy Spirit that the Elam Pentecostals were so much aware of. Now this is a Roman Catholic who seeks searching after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he's looking advice from the Elam Pentecostal Church. His church progressed, and he was confronted with the scriptural evidence of baptism in the Spirit. Frank, being a devout Catholic, became anxious to relate this new exciting prospect to the teachings of his church. To this end, he sought advice from a priest friend in America who was able to tell him of the wonderful things that had been happening there since 1967. His conscience at least at ease, Frank took the next step and asked for prayer for the baptism in the Spirit from a pastor. Let's get it. From a pastor in the Eon Church. This request coming from a Catholic put the pastor, who was a real man of God, on the spot when he asked for time to consider it. He eventually agreed to pray with Frank. On April the 26th, 1971, he received an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and soon after this, the gift of tongues. So there are startling experiences in the charismatic movement. Things coming to pass that would throw us into confusion. There's not only startling experiences, but there is also strange events. We have seen here that here was a man, Frank Fort. He prayed with an Eon pastor in Belfast. They got down and they prayed together. This man said that he was baptized of the Holy Ghost and he received the gift of speaking in tongues. Startling experiences. Also strange events. These events take the form of prayer meetings. You know, whenever we look at the prayer meetings that the charismatics have, on the face of it, many people would say that it's little short of revival. Again, referring to this particular book here, the introduction, page 17, says, in Ireland, the growth in attendance, charismatic prayer meetings has been nothing short of phenomenal. From a small meeting of 12 people in Dublin in January 1972, there has burgeoned forth in less than 2 years of prayer meeting in Dublin, listen, with over 500 people in attendance. 500 people in attendance. Hundreds of ordinary people have become committed followers of Christ and have experienced in their lives deep and lasting changes in their ability to live as Christians. If we had 500 people at a prayer meeting in this house, I would say we would be in the line. And here's the charismatic movement. They claim to have been baptized of the Holy Ghost. They claim to have the gift of speaking in tongues. They have prayer meetings with over 500 in attendance. Startling experiences, strange events, and spiritual expressions. You see, often the charismatics, whenever you would be speaking to them, the language that they use would be very scriptural language. Their expression of speech would be similar to that of the Word of God. I'll give you again an instance. In the page 167 of this book, under the appendix of the Baptism of the Holy Ghost, theological and pastoral questions are being answered here by an old priest called Salvador Carrillo. There's questions being asked about being filled by the Holy Ghost. And he says here, this belief was not unfounded, for it sprang forth, sprang from the efforts or the effects of the action of the Holy Spirit on those persons which consisted in. He's saying here, this is what happens when someone is baptized by the Holy Ghost, and he gives a list here. A deep internal renewal, an authentic spiritual change, and a true conversion to God. The experience of a very close personal relationship with Christ. A decided apostolic spirit was an ardent desire to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. A strong consciousness of what the Christian community should be. You know, on the face of it, we couldn't disagree with anything that's said there and found in those sentences. And so the charismatics, they have not only had startling experiences, they have not only witnessed strange events, but they also speak with spiritual expression. They talk here in scriptural language. So this is what we might term as the demonstration of the charismatic movement. So what are we to make of all these things? What are we to make of those who say they've been baptized by the Holy Ghost? That's something we all desire, to know the Lord. What do we say of those who say they have the gift of speaking in tongues? What do we say of those who have prayer meetings and have over 500 in attendance? What do we say of those who speak in very scriptural language? Well, now we want to examine these particular things. We've looked at the demonstration of the charismatic movement. Now I want to look at the deception of the charismatic movement. We must ask, is this movement of God? And when we look at our text, when we look at these verses before us in Deuteronomy 13 and study the charismatic movement in the light of the Word of God, we can clearly, definitely say that the charismatic movement is not of God, it is of the devil. Not of God, it's of the devil. It is not a genuine moving of God the Holy Spirit. Rather, it is a counterfeit, a deception. Now, of course, we'll have to back up what we have just said. We're going to back it up by the Word of God. It is not of God because, first of all, it is not scripturally based. Not scripturally based. 1 John 4:1 tells us, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the Spirit, John says. The word try there is also the word prove. How do we prove the Spirit? By the Word of God. Not by the teaching of man. Not by the teachings of a church. We prove the Spirit by God's Word. So we're going to prove the Spirit by the Word of God. Charismatic movement is a deception because it's not scripturally based. First, can it be possible for an unsaved person to be filled, to be baptized by the Holy Ghost? Is it possible? Is it possible for a priest of Rome? Is it possible for a devout Catholic, a nun, an unregenerate Protestant to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Is that possible? As Frank Ford said it was. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Now, we cannot go to any higher authority than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we're going to the highest authority to find the answer to this question. Is it possible for a devout Catholic as Frank Fort was, is it possible for him to be filled with the Holy Ghost as he claims he is? John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17 is the verse we wanted to notice. Even the Spirit of truth, listen, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. What is the Lord telling us here? He's telling us here that a devout Catholic, that an unregenerate Protestant, that a priest of Rome cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost. Cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him, neither knoweth him. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the God of heaven. They're not born again. Therefore, if they're not born again, and they're still the world, they cannot be filled or be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I think that's very clear. That is very clear. For that's God's Word. Not scripturally, these can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Unless you're born again, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Neither indeed can they, because they don't know. They're not saved. Secondly, can they claim to have one of the gifts given to the apostles, namely speaking in tongues? Again, if I might refer to this particular book, page 77 of this book, we are told here, speaking in tongues has perhaps achieved more authority than any other gift or aspect of the charismatic renewal. And so they say that the gift of speaking in tongues has brought more progress and growth to the charismatic movement than anything else. Now, is it possible that the charismatic movement can have the gift of tongues that was given to the apostles? You see, if you turn on over into the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, this is something we'll be dealing with a little fuller next week. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Mark those words. In his own language. Now, charismatic movements say that they have the gift of speaking in tongues. They say that this gift has caused the charismatic movement to go forward more than anything else. They say that they have the gift that was given to the apostles. But there's one difference. Whenever the apostles spoke in tongues, those who heard them understood what they said. They understood what they said. Now, if we were to go into a charismatic meeting, there wouldn't be one in the meeting who would understand what the other person was babbling about. Not one. Because whenever they get into a meeting, and their so-called prayer meetings, and they start to babble in some hellish language, well, that's what it is. Nobody understands. Now, are you going to tell me that the Holy Spirit would lead a person to do something that was different to God's Word? The charismatics say they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and there's a gift of tongues, yet nobody knows what they're saying. But here the apostles, whenever they are filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues, everybody who heard them in their own language. They knew what they were saying. You know, Nicholson has a good description for them. For those who babble off in tongues, Nicholson, he said, you know, neither God, man, or the devil knows what they're saying. And that is quite true. Don't even know what they're saying. They go off into a babble. Then, of course, you have the... They'll come to you and they'll say, well, you can't do me out of my experience. I have had an experience. You can't do me out of my experience. You can't say it's wrong. I have had an experience. My friend, whatever experience we may have, if it's not in accordance with God's Word, it's not an experience of God. If the experience is not in agreement with God's Word, then it is not of God, it is of the devil. That's what we're saying today. Notice also there in Acts 2 and verse 2. Again, this is something we'll be dealing with a little further next week. Acts 2 and 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were rolling about the floor. That's not what it says. Where they were standing with their hands waving in the air. No! Where they were parading around and dancing about. No! Where they were sitting. Where they were sitting. Charismatic movement and meetings. They have their marches and their dances and their hands raising and going on. rolling about the floor. It's not accordance with God's word. It's not in agreement with God's word. God says the apostles were sitting. We're just sitting. Then, of course, the charismatics, they have their various types of healing campaigns. And, of course, you know the old routine. Preacher calls out for anybody to be healed. Walk up the aisle. The whole line of them up the aisle. And the preacher, so-called, stands at the front. The person comes up to them. The preacher says, "What's wrong with you? I want to be healed. Or I want to be healed." Next thing, they put their hands on their head. There's a crowd of people standing around with blankets ready to throw over them. Next thing we know, there's a person lying on their back, conscious. And if it's a woman, to protect her shame, if they throw a blanket over. Do you think that's of God? Do you think that's the moving of the Holy Spirit? Do you think that God would move in such a way that whenever a woman falls to the ground, her clothes are uprooted, that they throw the blanket over her? I don't think so at all. Do you think whenever someone dealt with in such a way that they don't even know what's happening? Let's see what God's word says about it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here's the great chapter. Those who perpetrate the teaching of speaking in tongues. Chapter 14. But let's just see what happens whenever a man comes to Christ or has been dealt with by the Lord. According to these modern day boys, a person when they're dealt with, they fall backwards, unconscious. Well, let's see if this is the way it happened in Paul's day. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 25. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his back, unconscious, so falling down on his face, he will worship God. Now there we have someone being dealt with. We do not find that he falls backward and into an unconscious fever. We find that he falls on his face and he's in his right mind. He knows what he's doing. Falls on his face. He worships God. Aye, whenever we find the sinner to Christ, where do we find them? On their knees. On their face. Worshipping God. We don't find them sprawled out across the floor and not knowing what's happening. Just to take it a little bit further, let's look at Acts 14. We'll get on as quickly as we can. Acts 14. Here's a man, can help us. Here's a man whose body was diseased. And here he is being dealt with by Paul. Acts 14, verse 8. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul say, who steadfastly beholding him and perceived that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, there's a man, he was healed, and he did the quite opposite to what these boys are practicing today. Here was a man healed, he didn't fall on his back, he stood up. And he walked, he knew what he was doing. He knew what was happening, what was going on around him. So we can say today, the charismatic movement and the like, not of God, it's not in agreement with God's word. Thirdly, they say that the Spirit leads them to do better things. Leads them to do better things. I want to read a few more lines of this book just so you hear what the Spirit leads them to do. You'll hardly believe them. As well as down in black and white in this book, or you wouldn't believe. Here we have a Roman Catholic priest. He's supposed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and so forth and so on. This is what he says. First of all, I called into the church on my way home. Entering in the dark by a side door to a part of the church I was not used to, no sooner was I there than I experienced completely out of the blue, yet for a very clear urge to say the rosary. Apart from public occasions such as funerals, I had not said the rosary personally for about 6 years. Dear help me. But I did so then and there and with great fervor. Never before had I really prayed God in the glory be to God the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Never before had I such a sense of Mary's role in leading me into the fullness of Christ and the Spirit. There is one other almost comical coincidence about that rosary. I found that I was kneeling beside a statue of Our Lady that I hardly knew was there. That's not all. These details, however, are less important than the slow change that they helped to bring about. I believe it is God who has brought it about. I have a new freedom in my life, in my faith, and in my apostolate, in my priesthood, because I have discovered new roots in the Spirit and with others. This shows in some small ways too. For instance, I am much more tolerant of the official church now because I don't see things so much in terms of ecclesiastical and theological politics. Will you hear this? I really pray for the Pope at the Mass. And ridiculous though it may sound, I start praying the Hail Mary when I'm driving on my own and I'm stopped by a traffic light. That's supposed to be the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to ask the question, does the Holy Spirit lay a man to pray for the Pope to be more active in the Mass, to say the rosary, to kneel down beside idols? Of the Holy Spirit was, not the Holy Spirit of the Spirit. Never a Romanist gets saved. He turns his back upon popery and upon Romanism and gets out from it. He doesn't embrace it with a tighter grip. Martin Luther got saved. He didn't start praying for the Pope. He didn't say his Hail Marys more vigorously. He got out from popery. That's the true moving. Fourthly, they say the charismatic movement has been a help to them concerning Christian love. We heard, in this particular book, it tells us here of a particular man, the Church of Ireland minister. Church of Ireland minister. Of these, we could mention in particular the work of the Reverend Cecil Kerr, Church of Ireland chaplain at Queen's University. Members of his group who carry their witness round all our meetings with a joy and zest that match their youthfulness. Cecil himself has been really blessed in his teaching ministry and shows a beautiful sensitivity to the needs of the Catholics. We all love him. The conference organized in Denver Priory in January 1973 by this group under Cecil's leadership was one of the great events in the history of the charismatic renewal in Ireland so far. Over 200 people from all parts of Ireland, all denominations, that's not nothing, all denominations, they were all there. Thank God the Free Church wasn't there. Came together that for that weekend and experienced the richness of fellowship and worship that will long be remembered by those who attended. Above all, it was for so many, a real flowering of ecumenism. Now we're getting to the heart of it all. The apostasy. You see, we have a false church today. That's the one world church. They've got a false gospel. They preach a false Christ. And in the charismatic movement, we have a false counterfeit spirit of God. Of course, the whole plan of the charismatic movement is a further the cause of the ecumenical movement. Thank God this church and this preacher has nothing to do with either will come. The ecumenical movement or the charismatic movement or any of the rest. It's not scripturally based, but it is satanically backed. It is of the devil. God the Holy Spirit does not need men to do things contrary to his word.